2020 GAC in lovely Washington, D.C. And look who is in the studio lounge, Elizabeth Yergubian from CUNA. You are the Deputy Chief Advocacy Officer and Senior Counsel at CUNA.
That's correct.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So what are your responsibilities having this this title?
Great. So I oversee all the regulatory advocacy efforts of CUNA.
Mm-hmm.
Coordinate with credit unions and leagues around the country, and we coordinate our advocacy efforts directly targeted to agencies such as the National Credit Union Administration and also the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau.
Mm-hmm.
In particular.
Oh, interesting.
Those are the two primary agencies we talk to.
Okay.
Although there are others, other federal agencies we speak with about credit union issues.
Mm-hmm.
As well.
I bet your job is not dull.
No, never dull moment, especially
really?
Now.
Every day is different. Every day is an adventure. That's
yes,
what we should say.
Yes.
Hey, we're talking about regulatory hot topics that are going to be talked about, buzzing the hallways here at the GAC. What are some of the hot topics that people are going to be talking about here?
Well, there are a lot of issues every year, but actually right now we're at a point where the regulatory agencies are taking a step back,
mm-hmm.
looking at some of the regulations that were imposed post-Dodd-Frank as a response to the financial crisis, and seeing if there are ways that those regulations can be streamlined, especially for your smaller institutions.
Oh, yeah.
What happened after Dodd-Frank was a one-size-fits-all approach to all regulations was imposed. That really had a severe effect on many credit unions that weren't responsible for the financial crisis to begin with.
Right, right.
So now you see the regulatory agencies with the NCUA under the leadership of Chairman Rodney Hood,
mm-hmm.
and the CFPB under the leadership of Director Kraninger,
mm-hmm.
look at those regulations, reevaluate them, and see what changes can be made to help credit unions in particular.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to help in that effort. That's a great place to be in. And there are a lot of regulations that we could help in terms of providing guidance on ways that operations could be easier,
mm-hmm.
for credit unions.
Mm-hmm.
From compliance regulations such as HMDA, Home Mortgage Disclosure Act,
mm-hmm.
can some of the exemption thresholds be increased so that more credit unions can be exempt from HMDA compliance?
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking to the CFPB about that. Remittance threshold, can those thresholds for compliance be increased so that fewer credit unions have to comply with the onerous remittance disclosure requirements? And we're talking with CFPB about that. And other rules that like CFPB has imposed, such as their payday lending rules,
mm-hmm.
that applied to all institutions, including credit unions. Now they're taking a step back and reevaluating that rule and seeing if it could be made a little easier and more streamlined so credit unions are not inadvertently impacted.
Right.
So we're at the forefront of those advocacy efforts.
Mm-hmm.
On the NCUA side, they're looking at ways where credit unions can be more effective in serving their membership.
Mm-hmm.
So they recently proposed some changes to subordinated debt requirements to see if more credit unions can provide subordinated debt instruments. They're also looking at other ways to streamline requirements for credit unions and also streamlining the examinations for credit unions to make those
mm-hmm.
easier.
Mm-hmm.
So we're at a good place where we could really be at the table with these agencies,
mm-hmm.
and give them advice on how to streamline these regulations and requirements so credit unions can then do what they're the best at, and that's serving their members.
Indeed. So what's the outlook for 2020? What's because I mean, it's going to be an election year, so I'm assuming not as many regulations are going to be coming down the turnpike, or maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there'll just be as many. What do you guys foresee in 2020?
It's always a busy year, whether it's an election or not. But I think right now there's going to be a lot of regulatory changes to maybe help credit unions. What will happen after 2020 kind of depends on the election results. But we're at a good place with established relationships with agencies.
Mm-hmm.
What some folks don't realize are these are independent agencies I deal with, the CFPB and the NCUA. And those staff are there regardless of what the political leanings of this country are.
Mm-hmm.
So because we have very effective relationships with them, because we have our advocates that meet with them every year at GAC, even in years where you might think there might be more regulatory requirements coming down the industry, we have established relationships and a foundation there that we could protect against all political climate changes.
Right. That's probably one of the main reasons why a lot of folks are here at this conference.
That's
is
right.
What we're talking about. So are you going to be presenting? Are you going to be in any breakout sessions or anything like that? And if so, what's the topic What are the
I've been in a more administrative capacity this year with helping behind the scenes at organizations. So, but there's one breakout session on financial health and wellness that I will be at. And that's going to have an excellent panel.
Yep.
And that's a nice segue because while we are in a little bit easier regulatory environment in our dealings with the agencies, it's also an excellent time to highlight the credit union difference between banks and the financial services, because the banks are always on our case because they know credit unions have the advantage. They have a great structure. They have the best story to tell on Capitol Hill and also with the regulators, and that's threatening to their trade associations and their industry. So they're always on the attack. And one of the ways we could really highlight the credit union difference on the Hill and with the regulators is by showing the efforts credit unions take in their communities, because they're very unusual in that regard.
Yeah, you're right.
And this breakout session will have a lot of discussions on what credit unions have done to promote financial health and wellness.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just a financial services area. Really, financial health affects all aspects of a person's life. And it shows that credit unions aren't just around to help their members with financial issues, but really they want to help everybody achieve a better life. Mm-hmm. They want to have an investment in the community, and they want to help their community because they're a part of their community. Mm-hmm. So it's in their best interest to do that. And we want to promote all of the wonderful things credit unions have done in their communities to help folks with financial health and wellness and promote that.
Yeah, I think that session is going to be standing room only. So
yes.
Let's get it. That topic alone is really gaining some traction big time the last couple of years. So it's really good to see the correlation between finance and health and how they bounce off each other, you know?
That's
so it's
correct.
Really cool. I'm glad you guys are addressing it here and having a session on it. So.
And credit unions are different than banks in that regard. Banks cater to their shareholders.
Mm-hmm.
They cater to those folks. And credit unions, just by their very structure, they are member-based. They cater to their members, which are the consumers that they're serving. Right. So it's in the best interest of a credit union to really promote that financial health and wellness, whereas on the bank side, they want to promote the wellness of their shareholders, which could be few and far between.
Yeah, so. Indeed. Well, good stuff, Elizabeth. Anything else to add to wrap up? I know you have a busy schedule here, so I appreciate your time.
Not a whole lot else to say. I'm excited to be here. And the other key thing about credit unions and why this GAC is so important and such a wonderful event is that, unlike any industry, financial services or otherwise, in Washington, D.C., you won't see another industry where you have state leagues, where you have individual credit unions, you have service organizations, and the National CUNA organization all working together with the same voice and bringing that identical voice to lawmakers on Capitol Hill and also with the regulators. And it's very powerful and effective. And you know, our neighbors and our competitors notice that.
Oh, yeah.
And it's why it's so exciting to be here.
Indeed.
This year.
Well, you guys are doing such a great job. So thank you so much for all the efforts that you guys do on Capitol Hill and elsewhere for that matter. And then having this little show.
Yes.
This little show. So everyone can get closer with their representatives and let them know what the credit union message is. So
that's right.
Keep it top of mind for them. So good stuff. All right, Elizabeth, thank
you
so
very much.
Much.
Thank you for having me.
I'll let you get back to work. Appreciate the
Great.
Time.
Thank you.